Hey, don't go there. Good morning again. Hopefully we're recording, yes? Yeah, he's giving me the thumbs up. The reading today is from Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 25. I'll probably have to come down here to read it. This is Paul writing to the church at Galatia. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, I presume the next bit says, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage. Carrying on, Andy, are we? Hopefully. Selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Quite a long passage. I'm always thinking when I'm up here sort of speaking where people are at, whether they know stuff or not, and it's probably worth talking a little bit about the background to the church at Galatia, which will help you understand that a bit more. I was looking up, I'm one of these people, I like to know my facts, you know what I'm like, I like to know where things, and I was thinking, where on earth is Galatia? It's in the province of Ankara in Turkey, if any of you know your map. That's the capital of Turkey, but it's also got a province called Ankara. That's where it is in current day, geographically, that's where Galatia is, Paul's addressing. There were a number of issues in the church at Galatia. One of them, the major issue really, was how the Gentiles become Christians. Remembering it, if you sort of get your head on and think into the New Testament, all the New Testament's written about Jews, and the Old Testament's all about how Israel became a nation. And their thinking was the Mosaic law. Moses gave us this, you know, when these Christians coming in, maybe we need to put standards on them. It's one of my sort of favourite verses in the Bible. I think it's Galatians 1:11. I'm going from memory here. Paul says, I went to Galatia and I withstood Peter to the face. Two lead apostles falling out. Because what was happening, the church at Galatia was putting rules on Gentiles to say, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to watch what you're eating. And Paul said, no, I'm not having any of it. It's not right, that. Which is why he gives this fantastic list. Note that little clause at the end. Against such there is no law. It's not about the law. It says Christ came and fulfilled all the law. We're not under law, we're under grace, aren't we? But the next problem with that is some of them were saying, well, we're under grace, we can do what we want. I've got my ticket to heaven, so it doesn't matter what I do, really. I can sin all I like. Support City. Oh, no, sorry, Dave. Well done, Phil, Dave, Warren, where are you all, you blues? Right, come out to the front, we'll pray for you. No. Bad day for me yesterday, but never mind. But they were imposing laws. Paul said, no, it's not right, you can't do that. I'm not justified by the Mosaic law. Living in freedom, doing what they want. But Paul's saying, hang on, there's something. If you're living in freedom, this is the sort of thing that should happen. Again, this is me being pedantic. My wife tells me off for this, but The scripture says, but the fruit of the Spirit, it's a singular, not a plural. There's no such thing as the fruits of the Spirit. It's a singular in the Greek. I think what it means is the fruit of the Spirit is love. Brackets, all these things come from love. It's a singular. Love brings all those, that other stuff out. That's why he says in, is it Corinthians 13, the greatest of these is love. So in this chapter, he tackles head on some of these things. Verse 16, walk by the Spirit. He's saying to the Galatians, hang on, it's, you know, you need to be careful what you're doing and how you're living. Live by the Spirit, verse 18. Verse 25, keep in step with the Spirit. Paul's saying to him, hang on, I've got some news for you. The way you're doing it's not quite right. I guess I could simplify it all by saying the Holy Spirit should set the standard for you. That would be the end of my sermon, really. The Holy Spirit should set the standard. It's more complicated than that. This morning, I want to give you some practical hints, some thoughts about it. My question for you this morning, my wife's here, she doesn't like me asking questions, but never mind. Are you walking in the Spirit? That's my question. Are you walking in the Spirit? And some of you are sat there saying, what does that mean? What does that mean? It's a great phrase, some of us Christians. You're walking in the Spirit, you're living by the Spirit. I'll explain in a minute. How do we check if we are or not? How do we check if we're walking in the Spirit? How do we know? I put on my notes here, is there a beginner's guide or for walking in the Spirit, or walking in the Spirit for dummies? Is there such a thing? Well, you're looking at one here, dummy, so he's going to tell you a little bit about it. Here's something to know, and I think this is important. God will deal with us individually. He knows us personally. We've all got different things we like. When I was doing my teacher training, they were talking about the different ways people learn. Some people learn more into animated things. Some people learn by word. I'm a word-based person. I learn by word. Some people like to see it in action. Different ways we... But let me say this to you. God deals with us individually. The principles are the same. Practice may be different. God's word doesn't change, but how it works out for us sometimes is different because we're individuals. He treats us as individuals. Yesterday was the derby. I can remember the last time the derby in March, we won 2-0 in that one. That was when COVID began. It was 2 weeks before COVID. We at home were shielding with Devon. And there were some real strange regulations on there. You can only meet one person for exercise. You couldn't meet no more than that. Mike and I used to go out walking. Mr. Brownhair sat on the front with Beryl. Used to go out walking. We started to meet up on a regular basis, walking and talking. I figured, well, I'm doing a bit more walking. I need some boots for walking. These boots were made for walking, the song says, isn't it? So I thought, who's the man to ask? Well, Mr. Moores is the guy. Andrew, what do I do? I need some walking boots. So he said, come with me, I'll take you to Go Outdoors. I'm like, don't even know what that is, Go Outdoors. Perhaps not very well named in COVID, was it that? Go Outdoors, supposed to be staying in. So he took me, he said, I've got a discount card. You know, these are the sort of thing we looked at. He showed me different shoes, you know, waterproof, what you want. So I took advice from someone further on than I was. Nice boots. He gave me some useful tips. We talked through options. There's a lesson for some of us there. People further on can give you advice. Socks at £15, Andy, I'm not sure about that. But he was right, the socks were good. Socks with boots are good. Ephesians 6, 13 to 17 says this. This is Paul writing in church at Ephesus. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground, and having done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness arrayed, with your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I'm not preaching on the armor of God, but do you get some of the phrase reoccurring there? Stand. Stand firm. Talking about how we should be. There's a whole nother sermon there about what's going on in the spiritual realm and how we resist difficulties. Notice the emphasis on stand. Your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace, Paul says. He's talking there, he's picturing, remember, Jerusalem, first century AD, was dominated by Rome. He's got a picture of a Roman soldier whose shoes used to have a bit like running spikes in them, so they could dig in the ground. They would dig in the ground, then they would move forward, would stand. If you've seen any of the movies where they've got a shield and they're moving forward, it gave them a grip on firmer ground. So he's talking about our right walking. He talks, we must initially grasp the gospel, is what he says. Stand firm with your understanding of the gospel. That word simply means good news. Do you understand what the gospel is? I think, where's he gone, Ray? He's here somewhere. He's there. I think the first song we sang was We Believe. We believe in the resurrection. We believe he's coming back again. The Anglican Church has a lovely phrase. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. See, if we understand that as the gospel, that helps us walk in the Spirit. Why? Well, simply, and for me, the first one's very pertinent. Many of you will know I was brought up as a Roman Catholic. I think, as Mike will know, what goes with that is guilt, being a Catholic. Guilt for what you've done and your sin. You have to go and do the Stations of the Cross, and you have to go and see a priest and tell him, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been a long time since my last confession. But if we understand the gospel, what it means, Christ has died, our sins, past, present, and future, are all forgiven. We need to understand that, because a lot of us, if you're anything like me, we beat ourselves over the head. We condemn ourselves. Oh, I'm not good enough, I'm wrong. We don't need anyone else to tell us. We do it enough ourselves. I say here constantly, I make no apology, my sins are forgiven. I've done some bad stuff in my time. I don't want to repeat it. I've got some scars on my hands to prove I'm a stupid man. But God says, you're a saint. I'm righteous. It's part of the gospel. I can walk in that light. So when I hear that whisper that says, Jed, you're not good enough to be a Christian, eh? What did you do yesterday? And he's whispering in my ear, and I say, no, hang on. My sins are forgiven. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Death holds no fear for us. I was talking to Ray. I remember a conversation I had with him years ago about our own songs. I'm not scared of dying, and I don't really care, Ray. Blood, sweat, and tears, you used to sing. Death should hold no fear for us, because it isn't the end. Death ain't the end for us. If we don't believe that, there's something wrong with our thinking and theology. He overcame the grave. He holds the keys of sin and death. And he said to Satan, you thought you did well, didn't you? Hey, mate, your day's up. I've got keys here, and one day I'm locking you away. That's what the Bible teaches. I'm simplifying it. He holds the keys of death and hell. So therefore, we don't fear death. Death is a consequence of sin. You all know that, don't you? Because Adam sinned, we all die. If you read some fascinating stuff in the Bible, isn't there? Methuselah, 930-odd years he lived. Wow. It looked like there was a different plan for the way we lived back in the day. But sin came, and hang on, our years got shortened. With the miracle of science and health, we live longer now. Don't know what the average lifespan is, but for some reason, women live longer than men on average. About 2 years, I think. But that's part of what we believe. Third thing, there's a day coming when all will be made well. I've been working lifting stuff. My back's a bit sore. I'm not a spring chicken anymore these days. My body's not as good as it was. Good enough though, Sue, isn't it? It'll do, Mark says. But the day's coming when any issue we have and be dealt with, because we'll be with him and all will be well. He's coming back again. And what the Bible teaches, we'll be with him. Death isn't the end. Paul says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. I've got this dilemma, Paul says, to die and be with him or stay, because you lot need my teaching. That's what Paul says to him. That's part of what we need to understand to walk in the Spirit. We're secure. Whether you get it or not, Ray often is very skilled, our worship leader. He's a great man. I love him to bits. He has a thread going through his songs. His thread today was God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. All your promises are yes and amen. He's faithful. Not only that, the Bible teaches us he can do what he's promised. You know that big word, don't you? Omnipotent. He's all powerful. He can do it. He said, let there be light, and there was. Created the earth out of nothing, and some of us struggle with whether he can, I owe this much money, I've got this problem, I wonder if he can sort it out. Come on, give him a break. This is the guy who created the universe. He hasn't got an issue, has he? Here's the bad news for some of you now. Hands up. How many of you are into the 10,000 steps routine? Nobody. You're having a laugh, aren't you? There must be some of you. Hold on to your seats. There is no scientific proof that, about the idea of 10,000 steps. Comes from China, around about 1965, where they introduced a pedometer. Some of that measures your walking, and part of the slogan was 10,000 steps. That's where it comes from. You know what I'm like with my facts. Go and look it up. In ancient Rome, distances were measured by counting steps. Here's something I never knew. The Latin for the mile means 1,000 paces. Well, things are measured in steps. Walking in the Spirit. They reckon the average person makes 100 steps every minute. So 2 hours if you want to do your 10,000. Up to you. This is the thing that really counts. Psalm 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Did you know before time began, God sat down and worked out a plan for your life? What a thing that is. Before the beginning of time. He prepared good works in advance for us to walk in. Paul says Ephesians 2:10. God's got a list up in heaven what's happening for me tomorrow. Did you know that? He's got it ordered. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. How do we know if we're walking in the Spirit? Is this making any sense at all? Have you fell asleep yet? No. Still there, Phil. I bet you're still enjoying yesterday, aren't you? How do we know if we're walking by the Spirit? The word repentance simply means to change, to turn round. So those of you recently went through baptism, that's part of the teaching. It's a declaration of the old life dying, the new life coming. I've turned away from that. I don't do that anymore. My life has changed. Is it, Michael, is it 5 years for you, Michael? Well done, mate. 5 years clean. You should be able to see change for the better in your life. That's one of the ways you should know if you're walking in this way. Is there any change? Am I still doing the stuff I did years ago that was not particularly good? Am I still going around getting involved in fights? put my hand through windows. Not recently. But 40 odd years ago I was. 50 years. What was it George Best said? In 1969 I gave up women and alcohol. It's the worst 20 minutes of my life. Change has got to be consistent, not a flash in the pan. I'm a big United fan, so that's something I know. He was making a point, but it's not enough, is it? Oh, well, you know, I did okay yesterday. Change has to be consistent. We should be able to look at our lives, look back as it were in the mirror and say, I can see change. It might be gradual. And some of us, well, all of us probably, still dealing with issues we haven't yet mastered, but we've got to make steps towards it. I used to talk to people who were not Christians, and they say, oh, I could never be like, you know, you are. And I used to say, well, there's a scale of 0 to 10. If you've moved from 0 to 1, you've made progress. Don't panic, you're not at 10, but if you're going minus 1, something's going wrong. You should be making progress, 0 to 1. I've got to 1. I might get to 2. I might get to 3. Progress, change, small things. And interestingly, often you don't see it about yourself. People who meet you a few years on say, oh, wow, you used to be like that. That has changed, hopefully, for the better. How do we know if we're walking in the Spirit? Change. Repentance means change. How do we walk in the Spirit? First of all, we need to recognize it's inward, not outward. What do I mean by that? Well, the Bible says the Holy Spirit lives in us. We have the Holy Spirit within us. Here's something significant, very simple stuff. He's called what? Holy Spirit. There's a clue there, isn't there? About what our life should be, holy. We don't like these sort of religious type words, you know, old language. Are you sanctified? What on earth does that mean? Holy, wholesome, if you like. Is your life good in what you do? Your behavior, your attitudes, how you speak. It's interesting. I've just started a new job, and one of the things they look at is your willingness and how good you are at stuff. Ben will know at Amazon. I've got lots of stuff they look at. But what's your, how are you? How's your reaction? If somebody comes to you and says, you did that wrong, you say, oh, rip his head off. And then his arms and his legs. No. What's your reaction? How are you like? We have the Holy Spirit within us. That means our thoughts, our words and deeds need to be put through the microscope of holiness. Are my thoughts good? Are my actions good? Is the way I'm talking to people good? Is the way I behave good? Proverbs says, as a man thinks, so he is. Not for another day. This is a battleground up here, isn't it, the mind? It's a battleground. That's why Paul says, take every thought captive. It's a battle. There's a progression in James. If you look at the book of James, he talks about sin leading to lust, lust leading to death, and so on. There's a progression in the way we think. I've got this in my notes because when I was praying and preparing, this is probably for someone here this morning. If you're listening on tape, I'm sure it can apply to you. If you focus on someone who has hurt you in the past and allow those thoughts to dominate you, your thinking time, then in essence, you're allowing that person to control you. They're the focus of your thoughts. He did that to me. I've never really forgiven him. I wonder what he's doing now. I hope he's... You're allowing that person to dominate your thinking, your time. If I want to be, you know, Joe Blunt about it, I won't give him the time of day in my thought life. Why should you allow a person to dominate your thoughts? Somebody who's hurt you in the past. Again, Paul says Corinthians is a scripture. I sort of think, oh, I wish I hadn't read that really. It's quite hard. Love keeps no record of wrongs. That's the third time you've done that, Mike, to me. Not what the Bible teaches, is it? Clean slate. He who has forgiven much loves much. We've all been forgiven. Not that we've deserved it. The Spirit lives in us, so at every junction event we should ask, what should I do in this instance? I've preached on these verses before, but I'll make the point. Acts 16, 6-8. Paul and his companions travelled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. Paul wanted to do a good thing, but not a God thing. There's a difference. Our actions and our thoughts can be good, and God said, no, not doing that. I think it's Colin Urquhart who used the phrase I've often picked up, the good is the enemy of the best. God had something better planned. I've asked the question, how were they kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching? Did he stand at the border and go, right, you haven't got any visa or passport, off you go? I imagine somebody within the group had a sort of, maybe they prayed and said, I don't think we should go there, and then a witness, something inside. Again, if you're not spending time talking to God, here's news for you. He probably isn't speaking to you unless he breaks into your life, which often he does. But in those quiet moments, we should be saying, what should I be doing here? I've got a situation coming up. What do you think? And he should give you peace about it. That's a barometer for another day. Peace. We have a walking in the Spirit barometer. Did you know that? Don't go like that. Yes, Jed, we knew that. It's called the Bible. I'll pick up Mark's Bible here. This is our barometer for checking out whether we're walking in the Spirit or not, isn't it? We've got to have an external check. What is it that you say about the Bible? Basic instructions before leaving Earth. That's what it means. We've got stuff to do down here before we're off up to meet with him. The Bible's your checklist. Because, again, please forgive me. Some of you will see looking at me, I'm not exactly young. I've been around the block a while. I've had lots of people in churches come up to me saying, God's told me this. Really? And you look at it and say, hang on, it doesn't quite stack up with what Scripture says. We can all say, God's told me, but we've got to go and check, hang on, does that go in line with what the Bible teaches? Because if it doesn't, I have to say, I'm not too sure God's told you. Because his word is the barometer. I've just started a new job. I've been sent a contract. I needed to read it to find out the important things. Pay. What's my rate of pay? How many holidays do I get? What's the score with flexi time? How do I get overtime? Responsibilities. I'm reading the contract looking. Read the Bible to check out. Because actually, some people can give you some very odd advice, can't they? Well, I'm a preacher, I'm a man of God, so whatever I say must be right, mustn't it? No's the correct answer, Ray. Well done. Check it out. Because if what I'm saying up here isn't in the Bible, then you need to ignore it. God's advice and God's word is better than man or woman's word. I could be up here preaching a load of rubbish. Some of you may think I already do. But it needs checking out. It says of the Bereans, doesn't it? They search the Scriptures daily to see if what Paul was teaching was right. Hang on, this stuff you're telling us, Paul, where's it from? Hopefully, we're a Bible-believing church here. We're Spirit-filled. Great this morning. We had some worship. There was no words and stuff. Ray was singing. They were praising. It was fantastic. We're led by the Spirit. We are, our heritage is Pentecostal, isn't it? When the day of Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit, that's where we get the idea from. You don't need to know the Bible back to front, but you need to read it a little bit to get some knowledge and wisdom. Otherwise, you don't know what people are saying. Are you walking in the Spirit? That's my question. Here's my checklist to remember. That inner witness inside of you. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. If you're talking with God, you'll find out what's correct. You'll know. You'll have a gut feeling. Often people say stuff and you just think, someone's not right. I don't feel right about that. Sounds great and they look great, but I just doesn't feel right. Trust it. Trust that inner witness. John, the Apostle John, I think, writing his letter says, our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are children of God. That inner witness. Check it out. Look at the change progress in your life. You should be able to see change. If you're walking in the Spirit, you should be able to look at your life and go, I can see I've improved there. It's like the school report, doing well, could do better. Should see progress, change for the better, and moving on. Get godly counsel and advice from those further on. If you're not sure, ask. Again, be careful, you've got to check it out. The Bible says in the mouth of two or three things are established. John Phillips used to say to me at Bible College, there are no lone rangers in the Bible. Can't do it on your own, basically, is what he's saying. Check it out. Check it out with the leaders. Check it out with your friends. We should all be in a relationship where we can share honestly and say, what do you think? I'm thinking of doing this. Don't think that's a good idea. Get counsel. Read the Bible. Check out the accuracy of advice and wisdom shared by preachers. Some of you are watching YouTube. Some of the stuff on there, you might as well bang your head against the wall. Be careful what you're allowing to come into your life. We're filling our mind with stuff. The number of people, I shan't name names, who talk to me about, have you seen this? And it's about the end times and 666 and you've got a barcode on the back of your neck. Give us a break. One day I'll preach on Revelation. It'll be interesting, won't it? I'll finish. Time's moving on. You know the old saying, don't you? The journey of 1,000 miles begins with just one step. Are you walking in the Spirit? Make a step. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Jed, for that very practical.